Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana Podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana Podcast. I'm Jim Reamer. We are back after a week and a day off. It was just supposed to be a week, but then we had so many issues last night. Kyler had a deadline. Dominique's kid was sick. How's your kid? How's your son, Dominique?
He's doing good. Doing good.
So was able to get your meds and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, late night run to the 24-hour pharmacy.
Nice. And then I was sick. Jeez. We could have just done it or not done it because I didn't have a voice. Yeah, yesterday was quite interesting. So,
Jim had the swine flu.
Had the, between that and the voice, it was a rough night. It's first time didn't coach last year, so my voice wasn't prepared for, the typical ass hattery that I do on the sidelines when I'm talking to the kids. So
you got nauseous from all those roundabouts.
There you go. I'm acclimated. We're going to talk about the All-Star team. Primarily, I guess the kids that maybe, I don't know if we all have a favorite snub or if we all have or if we all agree on just one player, that could, be an interesting topic, but we're going to get updated on recruiting. Zach's going to finally get to bear the fruit of all of his labors, or at least 2/3 of his labors.
Let's go, Zach.
We're not going to blow it. And then if we have another side topic or so toward the end, I think Zach's going to pop off once we start talking about AAU games this past weekend. But
yep.
But Zach, get her going.
Yeah, tons of commits, bunch of offers. We're not going to go too crazy, but we're going to get you caught up on some commits here. Well, Keenan Garner, first of all, got offered by IUPUI and Wright State recently. Chase Barnes got an offer from Lemoyne College. That's a D1. That's from Coach Champion. He is a Logan Sport grad. And then Justin Kirby, a 2025 from Fishers, got an IU Indy offer also. Commitment-wise, Keenan Garner ended up committing to IU Indy today. We'll talk about that. Nick Glover from Warren Central committed to St. Francis. Landon Hale from Hebron committed to Earlham. Eugene Young from Fort Wayne Northside is going to Anderson. Trevin Daughtry from Wabash Bluffton. Mason Harvey from Seton Catholic is going to Mount Vernon in Ohio. Teray Howell from Evansville Bossy is going to St. Mary of the Woods. Trey Buchanan from Westfield's going to Iowa, preferred walk-on, I believe. Jackson Fugit, Northside, is going to Indiana Tech. Tyler Parrish from Chesterton committed to Marion. Indiana Wesleyan grabbed a couple kids. They got Jake Smith from Lake Central, and they also got Peyton Bird from Center Grove. Jack Cherry from Garen Catholic's going to Elmhurst. And then Kieran Tawari from Yorktown's going to Trine. Lots to talk about there.
Had we covered?
Yeah, let me throw in one real quick. Just today, I think Chase Coomer.
Yes, Goshen Chase offer. Coomer, Goshen College offer. Yeah.
Got a Goshen College offer, absolutely.
2025 from Brownstown.
Had we covered Aaron Fines commit to Purdue as a walk-on, and then Drew Miller from Tri-West committing to Hanover. Have we talked about those either? Quentin Hess going to Hanover. Did we discuss Steven Reynolds' IU offer? I'm the one that pushed the list, so obviously I'm just trying to double-check my work here.
No, we haven't talked about those.
Okay. And then Damon King. If we didn't do any of it, Damon King getting the offer from Southern Indiana. I think that's everything that happened in March, on top of what you just listed at all levels there. But anybody want to talk about any of that? I mean, garnered IUPUI is, I mean, those, that's kind of the level where he was getting recruited the most.
What all kids from Indiana are on are with IUPUI now?
Hard to say at this point, right? Because it's hard to
the twins transfer.
I mean,
I think they left.
Yeah, I know one portal. Of them left.
Vincent Brady has been out of there, right?
Yeah, he's Vincent gone. Brady is on the transfer portal.
He just committed to Missouri State. Whatever kids he brought with him from UIndy.
That situation's so unsettled right now. I mean, they basically, last week they announced they signed 7 new kids. So, you know, I'm not sure how settled the roster is to the point of being able to answer that question, Kyler.
Makes sense. It's the portal season.
Yep.
High school and college, right?
Oh.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the high school stuff in June when we actually have kids playing for other schools. I mean, we do have situations where kids have enrolled at other schools, but I don't think it's been a substantial list yet. I would say everything at this point is a rumor until we get to June. Kids just changed their mind. I mean, we have situations where we have players playing for one school in June still end up at another high school or even back to where they came from.
Right.
This isn't a transfer situation, but if I'm not mistaken, right, Jason Gardner played for Ritter summer and then went to Fishers. So, I mean, so even that's not conclusive, but that's usually, since you weren't with us last year at this time, that's usually when we talk about transfers is when we get into June and start seeing kids play in leagues. And then we usually kind of clean it up after the Charlie Hughes event. But yeah, there's a new rumor every week, isn't there?
Every day, I think.
Every day. I feel like all of them are all going to Cathedral.
Carmel's got a new 6'6 kid showing up at workouts. That's good.
Who's leaving Carmel this year?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah, what I would say is kids who left thinking they were going to get a bigger opportunity probably missed out on a bigger opportunity this past year. Could have stayed put and probably got a lot of playing time. You guys talk. I'll be right back.
All right. Zach, Peyton Cloud, St. Francis. I saw you just put out a commit.
Where is he from again?
Southwestern Hanover.
That's right.
Yep. It's an old JV offer, an old JV commit.
Well, I mean, good for him. He played a little bit during his freshman year. I believe he was on the freshman team. Sophomore year, he was strictly JV, and then just varsity the last 2 years. So, I mean, that kid's worked hard for that, so I got to give it to him.
Good, yeah.
Is that a 2A school?
It is.
Yeah, gotcha. Cool. And I was going to say, Kirby, I see Justin Kirby got an IUPUI offer. Is that – I thought he had what do you have, like Eastern Illinois as well, I think, something like that. He did. That's pretty – you know, last year he barely got minutes, and then this year he's off the bench. So it's like you can see the potential, you know, the athleticism, and he's definitely going to be he's definitely a Division I athlete, that's for sure. But yeah, I definitely think he'll end up being Division I for sure.
What AAU team is he running with this summer?
Indiana Elite.
Yeah. Okay. That's second team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I watched a little bit of him like through stream, and you know, he's getting to his spots and getting to the basket whenever he wants. It's just a matter of just finishing off. And I expect this next year for him to put it all together.
Yeah. Jim, you said second team. It was like what, tied for second team or.
Yeah. I think I was going to say in some classes, You can have that set up. I remember back when in 2015, we had three teams in 2015, and our third team. Keep in mind, a couple of these guys were given opportunities to play for top team or second team, but it just playing time wise, it just was going to be better off doing that. Our third team was Wes Stowers, who was, went on to be what Marion's all-time assist leader or all-time scoring leader, something like that, from North
Yeah, he was
Central.
tough.
Zionsville's back starting backcourt, Braden Hall and Jake Mann. That third team was they had a 6'7" kid from Danville, whose now name escapes my brain. I went on to Rose Holman and had a really good career. Then you had Dalton Vachon, 6'8" center from Brownsburg, and then a kid named Liam Duncan from Carmel, who was a 6'9" kid. That was our third team. And all the teams, our second team had size, and of course, I mean, we had size too. But and then some classes, there's no way you could ever do that and have three competitive teams. But
This class, you can.
the 2025 class, you definitely can. And they've got there's the team tradition, coached by Kyle Simpson, and then this team Indiana, coached by Michael Logan from North Central. Both those teams are good groups. I'm not sure it's duplicated in the 2026 class, but I probably won't go too deep in that topic. I mean, we played one of them this weekend, and had to have been their worst game early in the season, and probably our best game so far, but in this young AAU season. But anyway. I think Kirby's going to be the way he shot the ball in the state tournament. You can see that it's coming. That was going to be the thing for him was how did his shot develop and some decision making, especially off the dribble. And it's coming. And at that point, his athleticism is going to be, it's already a huge asset, but it's going to be a difference maker for him.
Plus defender. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly capable. When he's engaged defensively, he's disruptive. So, anything else about this list before we get to the meat of it?
We had to have those coaching changes down there with Marion and IUPUI and UIndy. Could be interesting to see what happens with some of those guys that committed to Marion.
Right. And supposedly, supposedly three of them had been asked to go to UIndy, but that's not coming from Coach Hetty's direction. So we'll see how that plays out. And it'll be interesting to see who gets married. If there's some logic that Jesse McClung might slide over from St. Mary the Woods to get that job. I got to imagine Tyrae Howe would come with him. If that's the case, there might even be a kid or two that comes with him. I don't know. But I don't know that's a done deal. So I don't know the status of that situation. But yeah, it's definitely a good coaching. We don't see the coaching carousel like this in college, where it's just all these jobs are connected. And in this case, they just all happen to be in the same city.
At all levels, too,
Y
just
yes, absolutely.
trickling down.
I mean, IU doesn't, I mean, Indianapolis doesn't have a mid-major basketball program, but if they did, it would be funny if it kept going up that level, too. But,
Also, I want to say shout out to Matthew Graves for getting to Indiana State.
oh, yeah.
Definitely want to say that. Well deserved. I'm excited as a Sycamore alum for him to take over. So exciting times.
It made sense. I don't know who else. I mean, all they would have done was gotten somebody else's assistant, who then would have been hunting a bigger job themselves or a bigger payday themselves. I think Matthew is a guy that, look, he's a Butler guy who saw what happened. Not that he was at Butler when this happened, but he was a Butler guy that saw what happened with Coach Licklider and Coach Collier when they left for much bigger, you know, when they left for bigger job. I mean, Butler was still, you know, Horizon League when those guys left for Nebraska and Iowa. Flip it, Iowa and Nebraska. Licklider went to Iowa. Coach Collier went to Nebraska. Both of those guys probably moved into a part of the country that they couldn't recruit from as well as they obviously were able to at Butler to fit their system, to fit, in this case, both cases, the Big Ten. You know, Matthew is a guy that if he's successful at Indiana State, he's probably going to stay at Indiana State unless something like, what, Purdue, IU, Illinois?
Butler, something like that.
Butler, yeah. I mean, something that makes sense from a recruiting standpoint. You got to be able to recruit your base, you know, in your new job. If you're talking about a head coach taking, you know, you're not talking about an assistant necessarily. Like Dusty May was successful at Florida Atlantic. He was an assistant at Florida for a number of years before he took that job. So he had already been able to develop some relationships. And now he comes to Michigan where he knows the terrain in this part of the country very well. Not only was he able to recruit it a little bit in Florida Atlantic, but he also is a, you know, a former IU assistant coach, or at least staff member, sorry. And he has maintained and built connections in this state, and I'm sure Michigan, Ohio as well. But I'll be anxious to see how he does it at Michigan. We're not going to really get too deep in the woods on the IU stuff, are we? I mean, with their new guys.
That's a separate podcast.
Separate podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Indiana All-Star team came out. It's not a bad list. I don't think anybody on there. I think everybody on there probably deserved to make it. I think that's fair to say that everybody on there deserved to make it. Is that fair to say from everybody?
I mean, you gotta say that.
I'd say so.
But
you don't have to say that.
You don't have to say it. I guess they deserve. They had good years.
All right, say it, Zach. Who didn't deserve to be on there?
I'm going to name names. So we're gonna do that. Trust me, we're getting to that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the damn team. Hold on a second here. I mean, that's the rule. If we're gonna say it's a snub, then we got to say who's. Yep.
You got to take somebody out there.
And I'm going to name names. So
I like it.
He named nobody else's names.
Spicy Courtside Indiana. I like it.
Found it. All right. Nope, that's Junior All-Star. Damn it. Can I not find? There we go. All right. Isaac Andrews, Jack Benner, Lori Badunga, Trey Buchanan, Micah Davis, Aaron Fine, Keenan Garner, Evan Hayward, Jack Miller, Tyler Parrish, Carson Rogers, Tucker Tornada, KJ Windham. There's nobody on that list we didn't name, correct, when we did our projections?
Didn't we say Rogers probably had to make a little run for Kokomo to get two guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us threw out – we might have thrown out Jack Miller, but I don't think
I think you touched on the idea that they could get one.
Yeah.
I don't remember us. I'm sure somebody did, but Tyler Parrish, I don't feel like –
Yeah, he was on my list.
He was on yours. Yeah,
he was on mine too.
I'm gonna check mine.
He was not on mine.
He was. I didn't write my all. I wrote my junior all star down, but I didn't write my senior all stars down. That's so stupid.
Way to go!
Look, Javon Lewis should have made the all star team. Period. Anybody who's listening, which is there's a few of you, send it to whoever you want. I don't care. He should have made the All-Star team.
All five of you listening.
Yeah, all five of you. And all 500 of you. But, I mean, Dominique's going to know more about.
Let me know when to talk, Jim. I'm ready. I'm queued up.
Let him go.
He had, first of all, he had the requisite production for the last 2 years. And I'm just talking about guys that, let's put it this way. And I'll get to something here in a minute, too. When you look at what's happened the last 2 years, there aren't many guards in this class that had more success than Jamon Lewis, personal or individually or from a team success, period. It's not debatable. It's not debatable. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that the committee doesn't realize that or doesn't acknowledge it and has somebody who we don't know about much about this kid, blah, blah, blah. Well, then do your damn homework. You know, he had better seasons than Aaron Fine, Trey Buchanan, and Tyler Parrish, period. He either matched them statistically in the case of Tyler Parrish, and Fine is close, but his team was better. They got farther in the tournament than all three of those teams. They got farther in the tournament than all three of those teams last year, including beating Noblesville to get to the semi-state. Period. He should be on the team. So one of Buchanan, Fine, and Perry shouldn't. And then, so if you're going to default to that, that's where I go with it. And look, I'm friends with Aaron's dad. He could text me, and I think Tyler Perry shouldn't have made the All-Star team. I don't think Chesterton had that good of a year. I think they underachieved. Based on what they had coming in. Now I will say they play a tough schedule. You know, I definitely will say they play a tough schedule, but when you look at the dividing line as to the criteria, you know, of how it should go, I mean, Fort Wayne Wayne plays a tough schedule. Noblesville plays a tough schedule. Westfield plays a tough schedule. Obviously Noblesville, I mean, I think Fine and Buchanan, I know when we did our projection, it was one of those two, and it was whoever maybe went further. Of course, neither one of them got out of the sectional this year, so that didn't really impact it. I would have thought if either one of them won the sectional, they were definitely on, just because of the quality of that sectional. But I would say Chesterton underachieved this year, and I'm not pinning it on a player. I'm definitely not pinning it on a coach. They play a tough schedule. You look at all their losses, none of those losses individually are alarming, or like you look at it and think, ooh, that shouldn't have happened, except for the fact that they got 30 balled by Fishers. They got blown out by Portage. They got blown out by Crown Point. If you're an Indiana All-Star, that doesn't happen. You know, they had a meltdown against East Chicago Central. Of course, that was in December. I think that was kind of when we thought East Chicago Central was legitimate. I mean, Chesterton did not have a good year. Not for the year they probably thought they were going to have. And if anybody wants to feel differently about it and reach out, I'm available. But if I got to pick one of those three, it would be Parrish. Now, I know he reached the state finals as a sophomore. And I know they won sectional last year, and their state finals run, you know, basically was the back of Travis Grayson. You know, and those two sophomores were certainly, you know, him and Parrish and Sims were certainly contributors. But you look at the last 2 years, you look at those three guards that are on the team, none of them have a better resume than Javon Lewis.
Period.
I mean, it's not even close. And good for Brewer to call him out, Coach Brewer to call him out. I don't know what has to happen. if this is who's making the final decisions, I mean, it's certainly Coach Broughton, you know, Mike Broughton is the head guy on this committee. It's ridiculous that Javon Lewis didn't make the team.
And we can't talk about we didn't, you know, they didn't see him. You know, Broughton was on the broadcast for two of their games with Rakestraw and ISC at Sneakers and at Forum Tip-Off Classic. At least one of them that he was. So it's not like, oh, I'd never seen him play or something like that. But yeah, I just think, and I've had a lot of conversations this week, and the only word adjective I came up with was, man, this is criminal. You talked about their seasons, you know, from his junior year and senior year, right? Back-to-back 20 plus win seasons, two semi-state appearances. And then you just add in, like, we've seen guys who have the stats, but the winning doesn't follow. But, you know, Javon's doing this with the stats, with the winning at a high level, and we're talking about a 4A level, right? So that, and to me, in a class where it's like, if you told me there was 15 high major Division I guys in this class, it's like, okay, yeah, we need to have a conversation. But if we're talking about, you know, one of the, you know, worst classes we've seen in recent history, it's like, I don't know how he doesn't, how did he not make the team? I don't get it. But yeah, that's just, I don't, like I said, all I could come up with is criminal. I don't know how, I'm not sure how, just don't know how you don't, you know, how he doesn't make the team. Like I said, with that head-to-head matchup with Fine the year before, last year in the regional, you know, Wayne advanced to semi-state. He was a junior all-star. I don't know. I don't know how you can look at the resumes and not, and he's not on the team. Leads me to question other things. So go ahead.
Dominique, who would you, I think we all agree here, Javon Lewis should be on it and everything, but Dominique, I want to know who would you take off?
Yeah, I mean, either one of those three that we mentioned. You know, if we're just talking, you know, player for player, you know, I would take Isaac Andrews off for Javon, because I think what he's accomplished at the 4A level trumps everything anyone else can do at a 1A, 2A, 3A level outside of a state championship. And if there's not a big recruiting gap, like if Isaac was a high major D1 guy, then okay. But there's no recruiting gap either. And Javon just accomplished, to me, he's accomplished more. So those are some of the guys I would take off for sure.
I know we've talked about region in this discussion, right? Region matters a little bit.
Yeah, I think they try to take a guy from each region of the state, right?
Right.
And I think, you know, last year they didn't take anyone from Fort Wayne, and I was fine with that. You know, I don't think there was a big time candidate. I thought maybe Gates Sefton, they won the state, maybe he could get on, but he didn't, which I don't think there was a big gripe about. But, you know, this year I just thought it was a clear candidate. I mean, I had Javon as a lock on my team, and that didn't change throughout. It didn't matter that we did it in January. He was a lock then. He was a lock the whole year for me.
I did too.
So I don't know. And like you said, when you just look, like, there's no way you can convince me that the committee looked at these resumes and said, looked at Javon and what he's accomplished and said, no, he's not Indiana All-Star. There's no way you could convince me of that. It had to be something else, right? We always hear about things, you know, maybe it's someone said something about behavior on the court, off the court, and there's none of that with Javon. Like, you know, he's a competitor. Like, the only thing that defines Javon is he's a winner, he's a competitor, and a leader. There's no off the court academic, and I've confirmed this with the coaches on the court. He didn't get 15 technicals this year. Get all the, you know, into, you know, nothing like that at all. Did he get emotional at times because he's a competitor and wants to win? For sure. But there's nothing that he did on the court or off the court that would say, hey, he shouldn't be an Indiana All-Star. And if that was something that was presented to the committee or whatever, they need a second opinion, because this is just not true. It's not anything that should keep him off the Indiana All-Star list.
It's almost insulting to have to ask that question.
But how, I mean, what else could it be? You're looking, I mean, the numbers are clear.
Okay. I think it's okay to just,
you know, I don't know.
Trying to speculate. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I mean, he was on the call. Right. Oh, two of their games, at least one, or at least one of their games.
Well, okay. So he was in the building, but
yeah. So fellas,
it's okay to just call. I mean, it's okay to just, sometimes it's okay to say you just flat out, it's just a wrong decision.
But I mean, if he's on the All-Star, Junior All-Star, he's on the Supreme 15. It's like, guy, they know who he is. It's not like some guy just came out of the blue. It's like you that's the only thing you can lead me to. Like, you can't tell me you looked at the resume and we're just like, oh, he's not Indian All-Star. It had to be something else coming in. There's just never going to convince me that's the case.
Hey, how many people are on the committee? Do we have that number?
No, we don't. I don't.
Is that public knowledge to where we can look?
I can
that
find
up?
Out, but we're not going to know by the time we finish recording.
I mean, I honestly just question. I mean, however many committee members are, let's say 15 or whatever. I want to know how many of those 15 are actually involved in watching these games from, you know, game to game. I know, like, all five of us, Brandon Ramsey, Colin Endrip, those guys like that, we're out watching games weekly and things like that. I just want to know, when it comes down with the committee, how many of these people are actually watching games and keeping up to date with the high school season.
I think they're what coaches, right? Mostly they have different.
It is a mix, and they do go to. I mean, the part of the committee, there's part of the committee that are former coaches, and they do go to games, but you know, again, these are. I don't want to try to characterize all these. I mean, they're all older, you know, older guys. You know, that aren't coached anymore. So I don't know. I mean, for sure. I don't know if that's the case. There could be some young guys that just don't coach. But what?
I mean, they may be former coaches, but how often are they actually getting caught? You know what I mean? I feel like if you're going to be in that role, you got to know about these top players and everything. And it sounds like to me that most of them didn't know about Javon Lewis.
I would venture to guess that all five of us have been to more and streamed more games than anybody on that committee. I would say that very confidently.
I just go back to the part that they could just not know what they're doing. I mean, we don't have to, like, they didn't know about this. They didn't see. I mean, if they didn't know who Javon Lewis was, then that's also the fault of the Fort Wayne area people that are in the room.
I mean, they obviously had to know of him.
I don't see how that's possible. Supreme 15, Junior All-Star, right. Like, they know who he is. Like I said, there had to be something else said. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah, I'm just back to blatant dumbfoundedness. I mean, I don't want to, like, insult people, but there's no objective view that keeps him off the team. It sounds like Dominique and I are arguing over why, what happened, but I'd rather just keep it simple and just think, God, you know, sometimes it's okay to just, like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Not you, Dominique, but them. Yeah, let's clarify. When I'm saying that about the committee, not about Dominique. Because there's nothing about this kid that should keep him off the team.
If he does happen to listen to this or catch wind of this, like, don't let any of this stuff determine what you do at the next level. You were committed to where you were before this. You're going there after. Don't let a bunch of old guys like that just decide, you know, what you are. I mean, you know what you are. Go out there and ball out.
And that's the positive side of this, is, like, Coach Brewer let me know that, like, as soon as this came out, you know, guys from Wayne's team were like, let's get back to work. Like, this isn't happening again type of thing. Like, there's kind of a chip on their shoulder. They're ready to get to work. And I actually did talk to Javon Quick, and he just said he's using it as motivation. And, you know, he's been counted out his whole life. So this is nothing new for him. He's been small, and people kind of look over him at times and things like that. So he said nothing new for him. Keep it moving and just, you know, keep putting in the work. So there's been some positive things out of that way, but it just sucks to see how this kid has, you know, improved so much and became a leader. And, you know, they went his sophomore year when he was a sophomore, and all the four seniors coming back were all freshmen. They won, what, four games? And then the next year they come back and win 21 and go to semi-state, and he becomes the leader of the team, putting up numbers, and doubles back and does it again this past season. It's just sucks to see him not get rewarded for that.
Well, and you also have to, and we could go a different direction with this as well. Patrick, but let me say this first about the three guys I named. Urban's pretty influential in the IBCA. He's involved in the Charlie Hughes. He's involved in top 100. I don't mean that to be critical, but he's a respected voice in any of their discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Fine was a successful high school coach at Muncie Central, and he's been part of successful Noblesville teams as an assistant. He's respected, you know, highly in those rooms. And Buchanan's father is the general manager of the Indiana Pacers.
Yep.
You know, and the All-Star team is not tied to the ITSA anymore. I don't think they play. I don't think they play the All-Star game at Gainbridge anymore, do they? They played at Southport, right? In Indy?
No, they do it at Gainbridge for the Kentucky.
Kentucky one's not like in Lexington or wherever, but Indiana is still up at Gainbridge.
I was there last year. The juniors versus the seniors is usually at like Southport or Kokomo.
That's at Kokomo this year. Yeah.
But Kentucky and Indiana is Gainbridge.
So the committee is just brought in the head coach and two assistant coaches for the All-Star team.
And then they probably take intel from or from information from other coaches around.
Correct.
The District 1 coaches and whatever.
Well, they text other people outside of it too. I mean, but Broughton is the guy. That's it. He's the guy. And if he's not the guy, then again, you can't expect Peckinpah and his two assistants to be roaming around the state watching kids for the All-Star team. So it just really, this has just fallen in the lap of Brot. You know, I don't mind, you know, if he wants to come on and talk about it, we can.
Oh, he's welcome to. That'd be great.
But at the same time, you know, I don't know how cordial of a conversation that becomes, because I mean, I think this is so out of line. I mean, like I said, there's no objective reason that Javon Lewis isn't on the team. When I talked about the dads, the voices in the room and all that, you know, that could be, Patrick, the case between Cody Clancy and Jack Miller. I mean, Cody Clancy has a better year, played well in the state finals game, but Jack Miller was wonderful in the state finals game. And Miller makes it over Cody. You know, and his dad is a longtime head coach at Hanover and a very well-respected coach in the high school coaching circles in this state. And none of these guys wouldn't go to bat for their sons or for their players. So it's not really a criticism of them. It's a criticism of the process. You know? I don't know. I just would say that there's no other way to say it. I think it's just outrageous. I don't know if it's criminal.
Criminal.
I think nobody's going to jail over it.
Criminal.
Someone should.
Someone should, yeah.
Someone call the cops on them. Besides Javon Lewis, who were some other guys that we thought could have made a case to make this?
I mean, no, I had.
That's
I had,
it.
Yeah.
That's all my
answer. I had Josiah Dunham on the team.
I did. But again, not to the point of outrage. If he was that dude, they would have gotten
one state.
We would have been able to watch.
This one's a little more mild next segment. So, same Patrick. I also had Josiah Dunham
because they have other, because that Evansville Christian team has other players too, and they also have a 6'7" kid that's decent.
Yeah,
so it's not like Bethesda Christian could have thrown anything at him.
No, what I mentioned to you guys, I think we came up with three names in the past 9 or 10 years from 1A that made the team, made the all-star team. So once I saw that, you know, Josiah Dunham did not make the team, I started looking some of that stuff up, and I was like, okay, well, I believe it was Eric Hunter from Tinley, Fazekas at Marquette Catholic.
Yep.
And Desmond Bain, who is an NBA All-Star currently.
Yeah,
so it's a tough process for 1A kids to get there.
Yeah, I had Dunham on my list, but that was contingent on them winning state. I had them winning state, so that's why he made my list. But definitely had a really good career. I think he was over, 2,000 points there. Won a lot of games, so.
Yeah, and then you get to the point, are you taking Dunham and Lewis, like two smaller guards?
And they'll probably will tell you that he's at a small school. He's at Evansville Christian for more than just basketball, and I get it. But at the same time, and I've not seen anything from their part of the state that's complained about him not making it. But you know, it's I think it's definitely held against him. I think you run a pretty fine line. At a 1A school to make the all-star team. I mean, if Tinley didn't win the state, I mean, they won by a basket. If Tinley didn't win the state, is Eric Hunter not making it? I mean,
I think so, because he's a Purdue. He was a Purdue.
Yeah, he's committed to Purdue. I mean, so those two factors. So that factor alone helps him. I mean, that's just a hypothetical. I'm just thinking that you're right. There's not that many 1A instances. I mean, Jason Holsinger made it as a 1A player back in the day.
Oh, but
he was a state champ.
Graves, I believe he was runner-up for Mr. Basketball. AJ.
AJ in was, 04. Yeah. Yep, AJ was. By two votes.
Yep.
And Courtney Lee was third by one vote, fewer than that. AJ Ratliff won it, beat AJ – the two AJs.
Yeah.
Ratliff beat Graves by two votes and beat Courtney Lee by three votes. Probably one of the closest non-ties ever.
We've entered the history portion of this show back in our good old days.
What about a guy like Kobe Bowles? Does he make a strong case?
I think that I had him on because, like I said, I had them winning state, but without the state title there, I don't think he gets
so many on. So many good small guards.
Small
like we just
guards,
named
yes.
like yeah. Three kids under 5'10 and 5'11.
Yeah, and again, not the kind of, I mean, sure, if he'd have made it, yeah, it would have been deserving. I mean, I think he's on a short list, but I don't look at that as a snub. To me, a snub is, if you're thinking about it objectively, obviously, there's a lot of people that think he got snubbed. There's people who think Dunham got snubbed. There's people, you know, there's that list. But this, the Lewis thing is just egregious. And in Kobe's case, I mean, yeah, if they'd have made it over Buchanan or Parrish, I could see that. I could see somebody on Buchanan's side and Parrish's side. Look, if either one, especially if Parrish didn't make the All-Star team, I could see Urban and everybody in that area being upset.
Yeah.
You know, and I view Buchanan's stats as a function of possessions, and I view Buchanan's stats as a function of they play a different style without Book. And at the end of the day, they're probably still a 15 or 16 win team during the regular season. And, you know, pulling off, you know, having a chance to win a sectional without Book, and Buchanan's numbers are better. But at the same time, I mean, Buchanan was a good player, but Westfield was great this year. I mean, Westfield was what, number 2, 3, or 4, depending on who you talk to.
Well, this is what I mean. Like, all of us, we've streamed, we've been to games. I've been to 50 or 60 games, streamed another 20 or 30. I saw Buchanan, I think once or twice. It's impossible for anyone to go see these kids enough to make a completely true judgment. It's damn near impossible. The game I watched, he was really good. So I like the kid, and I think he should be on Buchanan.
Buchanan, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I watched him play Noblesville in the regular season, and he was the best player on the floor.
That's the game I watched.
And then I watched him in the sectional, and Noblesville scored 26 straight points. So,
yeah,
I mean, you could take the good with the bad. And, you know, and he was – the other game I saw him play was against Carmel, and he was good. I mean –
that's why you need a committee of people instead of just one or two or even three.
Yeah, I agree with that. But they're not going to pick us.
Nah.
I mean, they're no. They're not going to pick any of us. I mean,
no, they should. But
I get an all-star. I mean, I get a vote every year for the, you know, the recommendation. So the all-star team is basically you pick 10 players. You rank them 1 through 10. Actually, you don't rank them 1 through 10, but you give them a number 1 through 10. And whoever your number one is your Mr. Basketball vote. And then your 2 through 10 are your recommendations or your nominations for the All-Star team. So, yeah, I don't.
Have you voted? You voted already, correct?
Yeah, it was all due a while ago.
If you want to piss everybody off south of Indianapolis, go ahead and tell them who your Mr. Basketball vote was for.
Well, it was Flory. I don't need to. I mean, they all know
okay.
that.
Okay.
It's not exactly a mystery, my view on that.
Get the message boards hopping.
Last year, my vote went to Zane Daughtry. So,
Doughty?
Doughty, yeah. Him too.
Daughtry, the band.
Daughtry, I was thinking of the all best
good
kid.
Good night.
Hey, I'm eating cheese sticks. Leave me alone.
There we go. That's funny.
Do what?
Anyway, I would take Lewis on the team. I'm taking Dunham, and I'm taking off Parrish. I'm taking off Rogers. So if I have to take two off, that's where I'm going.
I mean, I don't know if I'm wrong to think this, but does Carson Rogers, I mean, I don't know. Did he have that great of a year to make it? I know we said he had to make a deep – Kokomo had to make a deep run, but, I mean, was it deep enough?
He had a good regular season, but during the tournament, he was definitely not – what he was during the regular season.
I mean, Dom, I keep going back. Every time I'm going to think about Carson Rogers now, I keep going back to that.
Fishers.
Game. And it's just it's mind-blowing to me how he played, and he didn't play well. I mean
if we're picking kids off their tournament run, then should Jack Miller's performance in the state finals not count? Or are we picking kids off of what they do in the state tournament and then Rogers, what he does?
Well, but in Miller's
case, it's got to be a mix.
In Miller's case, he had a very good year, and then he had a really a tremendous
absolutely.
State championship.
I mean, I feel like, you know, either Jack Miller or Cody Clancy, one of those kids should have got on. I mean, you can't take Miller.
I would have had Clancy. I would have had Clancy. So if I'm taking off two names, I guess I'm taking off two names. I would have had Clancy over Miller.
Okay.
I think you don't mean he had a good state finals game.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not as good as Miller.
Yeah, 20 points.
Yeah. So I don't know how the one game trumps the whole year. Not that Miller didn't have a good year, but again, Clancy was the straw that stirs the drink.
The only thing well, like you said, his dad, but, you know, you're putting together a team, and Cody Clancy's a point guard, which you have a few of. And then you have Jack Miller, who's 6'5", 6'6", versatile defender, and can do kind of multiple things like that. So I can see if you're putting together a team.
That's what I was thinking, maybe with Rogers, too, with his size. Maybe I think we always say, like, the last three guys are kind of guys who they just want to round out the team, what they kind of need sometimes. So maybe that was the case with those two. I don't know.
And if you want to get deep into that, you could also make an argument, should Nick Book be over Carson Rogers?
Oh, boy, don't get Jim going.
I know we're going down a major rabbit hole.
No, it's just no. I mean, Westfield beat Kokomo. Book had 8 points.
That's true.
The only thing noticeable about his performance against Kokomo was the tip dunk tack where he tapped Flory on top of the head. That's it. It's got
3 years ago.
It does seem like a while ago, but
That's the new age, Jim. You make one play and watch the highlight and think he had 30 and 12.
Maybe Javon Lewis needed a, maybe Javon Lewis just needed to have a dunk over somebody. And he would have made
what Javon Lewis has, and that wasn't this year, but it was last year. He literally stole victory from the jaws of defeat in the sectional final game. Or the sectional semifinal game?
Yeah, semis against Southside.
Where he just they're getting upset by a team, by a sub 500 team. And he puts them on his back and carries them to a victory. Just shot after shot after shot. And I know that was last year, but oh, he's not the best player on his team. The hell he's not. There is nothing coming out of that scenario from different conversations that I've heard about. No, Lewis, no, should have made the team.
Dom, does this help Chase Barnes' case next year, or does this hurt?
It helps because Broughton's not doing it, is my understanding. This is his last year, right?
I don't know.
I thought it was. I could be wrong on that.
I'm not sure. I think, you know, obviously what we talked about, this year's class was not loaded with big-time talent. It was really thin. Next year is loaded with big-time talent. So I would think it would
feel like, hey, we got to make up for not putting Javon on.
I don't know if they would feel that way or not. They didn't put him on.
I don't know.
Unless, like I said, unless they're just completely – his name never got brought up and they just completely forgot about him, which is not the case. No chance.
Well, if Wayne gets out of the sectional again next year – I know it's not a semi-state. It may not necessarily be a semi-state, but if they get out of the sectional next year, Chase Barnes should be on the All-Star team. I mean, assuming he's going to have – assuming right. he's probably the big reason why they do it.
Yeah.
But if they get out of the sectional next year, he should probably be on the All-Star team.
Right.
I mean, it's –
it'll be interesting for sure. Going to be a lot more really competitive next year. Some big-time names are probably going to be left off. 13 spots. So.
Yeah, I don't know the scenario under which it gets as bad as this, though.
Yeah, I know. I don't think so. I can't remember a time where I've felt that, yeah, this is just, you know, the last few years, I don't remember a time where it's like this to me.
I'm sure there's people who have a personal attachment to somebody who didn't make it that feels this way, but
sure.
They're probably not still listening. Well, there might be one. Hold on. Who made the, I got to look and see who made the All-Star team last year. hold on. 23. Yeah, no, there's still one listening that, it's probably still a little frosty about someone not making it last year. So I retract that statement. I'm just not going to say who on the podcast. So.
We ready to talk AAU now or what? we get Javon Lewis and All-Star out of our system.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be the title of the podcast, by the way.
Yeah. Should be.
Absolutely should be.
It's going to be on there. It's going to be Javon Lewis v. Mike Broughton. That's what it's going to be. No, that's not.
Mike, come on the show. We're old Hoosier Hills Conference guys. I know you're a Jeff boy. Come on. We'll get on here. We'll talk about it.
We'll have a nice civil conversation.
I don't know if it'd be civil. I don't know.
Jim promises it'd be civil.
I didn't say that. I said the opposite. I don't know that it would be. It would be professional. I don't know that it would be civil. There's a fine line between the two, but
if he's doing it next year, that bodes well for some of those Jeff boys.
Well, then they would deserve it. I would assume so.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the kind of season we think they're going to have.
Yeah.
I'd say Trey Singleton's a can't miss, and I'd say Michael Cooper's probably in the discussion.
Yeah, he's definitely in the discussion.
All right, we're going to talk AAU.
Let's do it.
Here.
All right, Zach, you staying on? You hopping off?
No, I'm out.
No, Zach's still here.
I'm sleeping. Fall asleep again.
Zach has said three. Has said two things since we started talking about Javon Lewis.
Yep. No, it's bedtime here.
All right, Zach. Good night, bud. Have a good week. See you, bud.
Later.
All right, I'll start. Or AO, you guys, Patrick, you and Kyler start. Go for it. I'll just listen and chime in because
Kyler, go for it.
About.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot. My very first weekend out AAU, I went to Indie Ball Shootout, so it was just nice. I always liked that event, just to kind of shake off the rust because AAU is just such a different beast when it comes to coverage and things like that. So it was a good event. Got to see Jim's team, Kyle Guy Elite 2026. Really, really impressed with those guys. I thought they played really well. The games I watched, a lot of very interesting pieces. I feel like you got Jim on that team.
Yeah,
a lot of talent, some raw potential too as well. So I watched the Kyle Guy Elite 2027 or 2025 team, getting my years mixed up. Watched them. I watched Team Tradition. Trying to think of who else I watched. Can't think off the top of my head, but yeah, just just trying to get a small sample size of teams around. But overall, I thought Indie Ball Shootout was pretty good for the time that I was there and everything. So. Yeah.
What did Tradition look like? Like who played well, you think, for them? Because I watched a little bit on stream.
They got beat by Progeny Blue, which I don't know if that's
probably okay. I'm talking about the 25.
Wait, 25? They weren't there.
Who?
Indian Elite Team Tradition 2025. Yeah, they were there.
Yep, with Mason Darrell, Cody Evans.
No, 2025. No.
The Team Indiana is what I'm thinking.
My bad. Sorry about that. I saw the 2020, 2026.
You saw 2026.
Sorry.
Yeah, they were in the second bracket.
What did Ren look like? I saw your tweet you put out about some massive dunk he had.
Bryce Ren, man, he put on a show. He had multiple just crazy dunks, but it was just funny because he had this really nice slam. He was kind of trailing kind of the last person back or whatever, but he kind of just went up the middle there. And I forget the guard. It might have been Poppy who just kind of dished it off to him, and he just flew. It felt like he flew from the free throw line and just yammed it. But, like, they were up for, like, 96 to, like, 40. So it was under 2 minutes. So as soon as he slammed it, they just called it. So it was just kind of like a – what
shut
just
the gym
happened?
Down, huh?
So, big nail in the coffin there. But no, he looked solid for the most part. If people have seen him, he's really, really lanky, really thin. So he's just trying to kind of work out, those areas of his game and his like mobility and whatnot. But no, he looked really good. I thought he was good at protecting the rim. I think he's a pretty interesting piece as far as maybe somebody that could break out a little bit this summer.
So that's Bryce Wren.
He's 6'10".
He's legit 6'10", and he's going to Terre Haute North, correct?
With about a 7'4" wingspan.
Okay.
And if he's not just, long, if not longer.
Does he play a lot of – does he pretty long, step too. Out? Does he have he a can. Perimeter shot?
Yeah, he can. He's got to be open. He's not coming off a dribble or coming off screens to do it, but if he's catching it and he's stationary, he's a good shooter. He could put the ball on the floor, make a play. He's a good passer.
I feel like he's a candidate for like a breakout kid next year. I know he had a good year this past year, but somebody that keeps getting better and better.
Yeah. If he could just get stronger and add weight.
Him and yeah, the weight thing will be interesting because of his body.
Yeah.
He is thin, and he's not just thin, he's narrow.
It's hard to put on weight. My brother is not as tall as him, but my brother in high school always had that exact same problem. Yeah. When it comes to just putting on weight,
but they're good. They're missing two guys with size. They're missing Colby Hall, Braden Walters, and they've got a nice group. They've got the two guards from Cathedral, LeBron Goff and Derek Kennedy. They've got Chase Coomer, who just picked up the offer to Goshen. Coomer was really good this past weekend. He had 29 in a game. I think he hit 6 threes, something like that. They've got. They picked up Eric Jackson late from Tech.
They got the kid from HSC, right?
Nate played with him this past weekend, but he's not with them.
Poppy Rivera.
Yeah, they've got Poppy Rivera. They've got Luke Elsperman from Evansville Memorial. Poppy's from North Central. Yeah, I mean, they're it's a good group, and you know, you add Colby Hall, a healthy Colby Hall, and you add Braden Walters. That's size and really good. And Walters is going to reclass at 2026. I'm sorry, 2025.
Oh, dang,
dude. And he's
gonna, breaking news.
He's going to be a. I mean, him and Wren together were the defensive backbone for Terre Haute North. They're going to be the defensive backbone for this team too.
So
and.
What school is Walter's gone to then?
I don't know that part yet. I don't know that part. I could see him also ended up at a junior college if he does that, but that'll be a late decision. I mean, if something comes along and pops it that he really, really likes, I could see him changing his mind. But yeah, so I mean, it was I enjoyed it. I saw some teams. I just didn't. I'm still more worried about getting names and numbers on rosters than I am doing straight evaluations. I didn't watch a lot of whole games.
At that event, in the 25 class, I watched Progeny and Indiana Elite. Was that Team Indiana?
Yeah, Team Indiana was Snively.
Told you to watch that. Told you to watch that.
There, yeah,
Patrick.
Yeah,
that was a good one, right?
That was the Howard versus Hurt game.
Howard and was tough, wasn't he?
Howard is tough, man. He looked good out there. Team Indiana is just so big, man. They're long and big. They've got the Yoder boy.
I was impressed with him.
Yeah. What school is that again?
Woodland.
Woodland, that's right. Justin Kirby, I mean, we talked about him a little earlier. Kid looked like he could just beat anybody off the dribble and get to the basket. He's just so close to being really good. And I feel like next year he's going to pop, man. He's going to finish those and get there. Yeah, Progeny and Indiana, they look good, both of them. Two strong teams in the 25 class. And,
we played well this weekend. I mean, we won our age group, and that's a good start. I've got a good mix. Kyler had seen us play, and I've got. If you saw a Saturday, you didn't see Edwin Holmes.
No, I only saw the very first game of the day. So
because he was at Edwin couldn't make it Saturday. He had prom, and getting him back and getting him here and back was an issue. So he didn't make it Saturday at all. But Sunday he was here and was good, was really good. And him and Jetta Manette and Trey Shelsky, those are two of my guards. Those three guys can just get a bucket.
Oh.
And Edwin's 6'6" and super skilled, and Manette and Shelsky are both, obviously, I mean, Shelsky's led his team to the semi-state 2 years in a row. You know, in case people have missed it, that's a pretty big deal, right? I mean, unless, you know, you go to Fort Wayne Way and you get overlooked for the all-star team. So maybe it's not that big of a deal. I don't know. Jetta Manette, along with obviously a couple of their juniors, DeAndre Lott and Kenny Dunmore, those three guys are sectional champs. Those three guys are Hendricks County champs. And none of their dudes got put on an all-state team. Again, we could have had the same discussion about that situation as we did with Lewis and the all-star team. How you're going to win a sectional and you're going to win the Hendricks County tournament and you're not going to get anybody on the all-state team? Not even the honorable mention. So there's just there's a lot of changes they need to make in these meetings or these discussions that they have. And I know it's.
It must have been a Plainfield guy on the decision making board.
Oh, no. No, trust me. Weaves all about getting guys in his area recognition because he wants credit for playing him. You know, he's got to play him. So he definitely will want to point to that. And then I've got two other guards who just guard the heck out of it. I mean, I've got Dylan Kendrick is out of Evans Memorial is
defender, right?
Darian Ringo level defender.
Yeah.
stronger, not as tall, but has the similar length and has similar quickness, maybe a touch slower, but he's stronger, especially at that age. I mean, he is that good of a defender and a very, very good passer. And Mikey Fountain from Carmel is a very physical defender. And, you know, looking, so that's good for him. And we've got some underdeveloped size and some guys that have to step up. And but the whole class as a whole, there isn't a lot of size. So I feel like I've got pretty good pieces up front in Isaac Pickle and Cooper Hess and then Elijah Fuller Tucker from Providence, and Hess is from Zionsville, Pickles from North Putnam. And then we've got length at the wings with Holmes and Julian Vogt from Carmel, who's a 6'5 kid. Him and Mikey Fountain both had 4 or 5 starts at the varsity level this year, at a time when Carmel was just trying to find stuff that stuck and worked. I think I've named all 9 of my players, so we're good.
Now that everyone knows the Kyle Guy team.
Yeah.
You're telling me Edwin Holmes was there Sunday?
He was, yeah.
Well, check that out, okay?
Yep, and the final 2 games, he was tremendous. The first game, he was trying to get his bearings, but then the second and third game, he was making a lot of plays. He's just at 6'6", he does a lot of things. And he can defend bigger than what he is. He can rebound. He had 2 instances of going end to end off rebound, you know, rip and run, rebound and score. He can shoot off screens, so he's actually kind of a movement shooter. And those 3 guys that I named earlier, Holmes, Chelsky, and Manette, all 3 are movement shooters, guys that can hit shots off the dribble, coming off screens, and Vogt's kind of getting there. Vogt's kind of getting there, and that's just a separate skill. And I do feel like I got 4 guys who can do that, and I'm talking like from the perimeter, not in the paint. Start talking about guys with good mid-range games, and I got to start naming more names. And I'm just talking about the unique skill of being able to get a catch and just go right up with it and not have to be completely stationary to hit shots. So,
Dom, did you get to watch any of that Midwest Mania?
I saw some of that. I was kind of like Jim just from streaming, though. I didn't watch a ton of like full games, a lot of bits and pieces of a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So but I did see some of that game you told me to watch, the Tyler Hero and the Indiana Elite tradition.
Yeah. What did you think, man? Hoops, Midwest Mania out in Hamilton, Ohio this weekend. Went out there and checked out some games. What'd you think of that team?
Now I've watched a lot of games since then, but I remember Michael Cooper was definitely playing really well, hitting shots. Trey Singleton was playing really well. The Jeffersonville kids are the only ones I can remember that are on the team. Who else is on there?
Well, of course, Simpson's son, who goes to Bloomington South. A couple more. I mean, I was really watching the Jeff boys. And
yeah.
Team Hero has a kid committed to Wisconsin. They've got a kid committed to Iowa State, both nationally ranked in the top 100. And I don't know what it looked like to you, but from my perspective, Trey Singleton and Michael Cooper were the best 2 players on the floor. Now, it's just 1 game, and I get it. You know, maybe they just had a good game, but no, they were doing that every game they played this weekend. They looked real good. And then BJ Douglas, he also looked good in the next few games. So those boys are looking good, man, going into next year.
They went, 3-0?
They did. They went 3-0 against some good competition.
A couple of names I wanted to throw out that I saw, that, like I said, just on stream, but we mentioned Damon Howard, but he was just, I watched Progeny's probably bits and pieces of all their games, and every game I watched, he was just hitting everything, you know, 3s all the way to the rim. I just remember him as a sophomore playing. I think I watched him play against Ben Davis when Ben Davis had their team, undefeated team, and he was just one kid for Pike as a sophomore that just kept hitting shots. You know, I think they were, it was like in the second half, I believe I was watching, and they were, you know, it's still kind of, you know, 12 to 13 point game. And he just kept hitting shot after shot after shot. I'm like, who is this sophomore kid that keeps hitting these shots? Mm-hmm. And then obviously this year he grew into that role of being kind of the leader of the team. I think he dealt with some injuries a little bit this year during the high school season, but yeah, he was just,
it shows you how deep that class is, because none of us ever mention Howard in our junior all-stars or in our discussions. But
he missed really a lot. He missed a lot of games this year.
I thought he did.
He also had a suspension. He was involved in that fight with Lawrence Central.
Okay.
So between that and the injury, he was on the outside looking in for the junior all-star stuff. He's a good kid. I mean, that LC fight.
Yeah.
Just kids being competitive, chirping, getting out of control. Sure. They're all good kids. I mean, some of those LC kids we played them this weekend in the championship game. It's,
who'd you play in the championship?
Feed. So it would have been basically the three best sophomores from Lawrence Central, then Alexander Harris from Tech.
Okay.
A couple of kids from Warren and, hold on. I've got it right here.
And Dom, then Bryson Cardinal was also on that team.
That's right. I did see him. I knew there was someone else or a couple other kids on there that tradition team that played pretty decent. I just couldn't remember who it was. Cardinal was one of them.
Mm-hmm. I don't have
a couple other real quick Indiana teams that went 3-0. Indiana Ice, Gizzy, they went 3-0, and that was without Julius, who was out on crutches this weekend. So, yeah, I think I'm sure he's fine. But Slagley played well from New Pal. Fletcher Cole played good from Paoli. So they had a good weekend. And I watched EG10 and Hudson Horvath from Park Tudor. He really balled out that game. I watched him. I believe he had 24, 25 points, and he looked good. And they, you know, they got Patrick Madsen, your boy Kyler from Bedford.
How'd he look?
He's looked good. That first weekend I watched him, it looked like he's just kind of getting used to the speed of that level and everything. And this weekend he stepped up. He started making shots. Even had a couple breakaway dunks. I believe he averaged probably, you know, 10, 11 points. So he had a good weekend.
Good deal.
Yeah, Linderman looked good. I mean, there's some players on that team. There's some good players.
Decent size too, right?
Yeah, they got James Kalala, who's a 26 kid from Southport. They've got Tavion Williams from Ben Davis. So
yeah, length, yeah, athleticism.
Yeah, they got length and size. Yep,
for sure. And a couple other kids I wanted to get out there that played well that I when I watch Alex Kudo from mm-hmm. Carmel for Grand Park. I watched them play Mac Irvin Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have beat Mac Irvin Fire. They lost by two, but Kudo was just doing his thing, hitting threes. And just love his intensity, man. He was, you know, they make a big play. Mac Irvin calls timeout, and he's, like, getting guys fired up, and, like, he's intense into it in the game I watched. And like I said, he had a lot of big shots for them as well. Poppy Rivera plays well every time I see him play. Like, every time I turn it on, watch a stretch, he's hitting shots. He's just a big-time scorer. We mentioned Trey Yoder. Really liked him when I seen him in the season this year, the first game I went to this year for Woodland. He's just 6'6", left-handed, can shoot it, can put it on the floor, a good touch. And then Chase Barnes. They were out at the Chi-Town Classic out in Chicago area for prep hoops, and he was just – I watched a number of his games, and he was just doing what Chase Barnes does. I think he – had a 38-point game, a 28-point game, led the event in scoring, just put on a clinic of how to beat your guy one-on-one. One dribble right, pull up, crossover, step back, pull up. Just doing what he does.
I heard the Indiana game 2016 looked really good out there and actually beat Mean Streets.
Yeah, I heard they – I don't know if I watched the 20 little bit of the 27 group. I didn't see the 26 group, so I'm going to have to check them out as well. But yeah, definitely watched a lot of bits and pieces of games. on what screen.
What did you see Cedric Horton do for Mac Irvin?
Yeah, they got a lot of pieces at Mac Irvin. I think, and by the way, I didn't see Dominique Murphy this weekend.
I didn't either.
On stream, at least. I didn't think I saw him the other weekend for Mac Irvin, but he was playing. He just cut his hair short. So that's why I couldn't. That's why I was losing him there. But he did play the other weekend. But this weekend, I did not see him at all for Mac Irvin. But for Horton, yeah, I mean, he the games I've seen him play, he hasn't exactly been hitting his outside shot. He's been shooting them. And it looks smooth. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been going in for him, but he attacks the rim. You know, effective on the glass, affecting shots, getting out in transition. He does some good things for Mac Irvin. I'm not sure he starts. I think he might be off the bench. He
comes off the bench, yeah.
But he does, you know, get some nice minutes for him.
And of course, you know, the usual guys like Xavier Robinson for George Hill. I mean, he balled out all weekend too. He played some good comp, and I believe he averaged 20 plus a game. And then there was a game that Javon Guest from Warren Central just went off for like 26, 27. So he had a good weekend too. There's some serious kids in that 25 class.
Yep.
The Team Indiana roster for Indiana Lead, if you're still interested in that, Trey Yoder, Nathan Baker from Fishers, mm-hmm. Tyler Rash, Justin Kirby, Drew Snively, Chris Hurt, Cole Henry, and then Oscar Fox. Then their team tradition roster.
Yeah, I know we sent it to you.
That one's the one we got, right?
Yeah, and Kyler, how can we not talk about the big boys, the three SSB boys, like Braylon, the weekend he had out in Iowa, I believe, Braylon Mullins.
Yeah, I mean, Braylon Mullins, you want to talk about a weekend, and that's the way you kick off your AAU season right there.
For sure.
I don't know how many points he averaged, but it was a lot, and he just looked great. I heard from a lot of people. They were really, really impressed with him and pretty much the whole Indiana Elite team. So there's a lot of potential there with that Indiana Elite team. I would not be surprised if they don't win the entire 3SSB this year.
Yeah, it was 20 points per game at that level.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Cicely looked really good. Yep. Malachi Moreno, but obviously he's out of the state.
Kellen Pickett's just kind of getting used to that level and that speed and everything. So I think he'll come around eventually. But
I don't think any of us saw them, right? That's behind a paywall.
It is.
Adidas.
Come on, Adidas. We want to watch these.
Yeah, come on. Nike's free. Adidas is the reason why you shouldn't be.
Have we named every Indiana kid yet?
We're getting there.
No, we got to go back to Javon Lewis. So we're going to go do that.
Okay.
I'm in. Let's go. Let's talk about it some more. Any other topics? I mean, it's really, we did, like you said,
that underclassman game. They announced those if you want to hit on it.
Yeah, we could. I haven't really looked into it too much. I don't think there's anything too controversial there.
I didn't even know they dropped it. I was too heavy on Javon. I still haven't seen the list.
We can save that for next week.
Yeah, we'll send it to you.
It's a good list. I mean, when you look at, I didn't see anything there too bad, especially when you consider, I don't know. It's just it's a process. I would value winning more than they do, but it just I don't know. It's funny. Some of those lists, they look at the stats, the small school kids get benefit of the doubt until it comes to the All-Star team.
I was going to say, until it really matters.
I mean, I don't know where to draw the line. Maybe it's because it's a broader group of guys making the decision. But at the same time, it's not a bad list. I mean, you know, I definitely would have had Manette on that list, especially some of the games he had this year. I know there were some games where he where he did struggle for Avon, but again, those were teams that worked hard to take him out, you know, and they got better. And they had a stretch of games too where Dunmore didn't play, and kids like him and DeAndre Lott stepped up their game, and they've got a junior point guard too that had a good second half of the season. And I mean, Chelsky made it from our group. I mean, so that he should have made it last year. So, you know, again, Park Heritage got to the semi-state last year, and he wasn't on the list. But a kid who didn't win the sectional from a 1A school made it. It's like, come on, man, what are we doing? So, I mean, I was, you know, it's not a bad list. It's still.
Did anyone see Elias Sego?
Eli Sego.
Yeah.
A little bit, but not much. Not much yet. Again, he played on that team tradition for 2026 that they lost in their pool. They didn't win their pool, so they went to a different bracket. It's a good, I tell you what, their Team Indiana team's got some good length. They have some interesting link. They just.
What class is that?
2026. The team we played second on Sunday. Just not their game. Wasn't. It didn't. It was, like I said, it was a bad game on their part. It was a good game on our part. The two ideas merged together, and it ended up being kind of a runaway. I didn't anticipate it being a runaway.
Yeah, if you see that team in person, you think, like, if Tyler Cruz from Gary West can put it all together, that kid looks like a ball player. He's going to be tough.
Yeah, that's not happening this year, though. But you're right. I mean, that's one of those deals where he would be a good get if you could get into practice every week and you could work with him. Not, you know, not that they're not working with him at Gary West, but because I know Coach Bugs. I talked to Coach Bugs in the winter and could never just get – first of all, didn't get a chance to watch him play, but could never get a definitive answer about how he would get to practice. And for me, that matters. And it's not an indictment of any kid or family situation. Each family has their own transportation challenges. It's – you know, you've got to, but that's where he has to be part of a team. He has, for him to benefit from playing for us, he'd have to be at practice.
I believe they've got another Gary West kid on that team. They do. Maybe he helps out.
And it is. That's his father. I talked to him a little bit. I don't know that it was definitively a, you know, part of a deal or anything. I think the Douglas kid is good. He's a good player. But we would not have been able to pick him up just because we're already guard heavy as it is. So there was no way to get him down here on a regular basis. Can't, you might be able to get a school coach to do it once, maybe twice. Well, I mean, we've already had 8 practices. So it's just wasn't going to work out.
5 days a week for gym, right?
No.
Gary West, man, they always seem to get those tall, athletic kids up there, like Jalen Washington a few years ago. And they had Vincent Hart way back in the day.
Hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not that, though.
No, but I mean, he looks right like now. He's 6'9" and looks like he could become that if he, if things worked out right.
Those guys were the best players in their classes when they were freshmen and sophomores. This isn't – he's a nice project.
I didn't say he is those kids. I'm just saying Gary West, they always seem to get those.
I know, but you start associating him with names, and I mean, that's – he's not –
for their height only.
Yeah, well, so they have that in common.
Yep.
But no, if he was here, I would definitely want him. I would love to work with a kid like that for, you know, at the very least once or twice a week. you know, now we're at a stage where our rhythm, our routine is going to be practice once and play on the weekends.
And Cruz and Wren, man, talk about potential through the roofs.
Yeah, see, he doesn't move as well as Wren did last year as at that age. Wren was surprisingly last year, and I've talked with his dad, Matt, quite a bit about this. He was surprisingly effective as a rim protector despite his frame. Like he's because the guys that are thin buckle and you can bully him. He doesn't buckle. He really does a great job of maintaining his verticality. And I don't know how he does it. So there's a toughness level there that belies his frame. And you know, now as he's getting stronger, it's even more effective. Now, I do think Cruz could be that kid later. And if you want to talk about comparing him to Wren, I do think Cruz could be that kind of defender later, but he hasn't shown any of the ball handling or decision, you know, the ability to run offense through him like what happens with Wren. I mean, Wren's making bounce passes through the paint off the dribble at 6'10" and looking good doing it. And that's a skill. But yeah, Tyler Cruz was 30 minutes away and not 2.5 hours away. Yeah, I'd love to have a kid like me. I'd love to have him work with him like that. Is this tampering? Is this considered tampering?
And that's where we end the
podcast. AAU, man. Anything goes.
Kyler, is this considered tampering?
No comment.
You're saying podcast is over now.
Yeah, no comment.
But even the best bigs in this class are forwards. Wouldn't you agree?
We're talking 26.
Yeah.
Kai McGrew, Brendan Miller.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, the forward. They're not centers. There's no center in this class. Even my dude Pickle, who tries to dunk on everybody. I mean, he's 6'8", and he can probably dunk on anybody as springy as he is. Holy cow. He jumped over a dude this weekend and dunked. It's like, what the hell? We got the market cornered on the North Putnam athletes.
Yeah, I don't see any centers, but Hazlett's a 3 or 4.
He's a 3.
Yeah.
Braylon Langley is kind of a
3.
3-4-3. I mean, there's no legit side. I mean, Montrell Harbin maybe is, but he's got to reshape his body.
What about Kalala? Is he he's a power forward?
Yeah, he's probably undersized to be a Division I center, but he's not undersized to be a Division I power forward if he can do more things.
He's only a sophomore.
Yeah, yeah. Again, things we could do, things we couldn't do. It's tried getting him and Turner, his host, his guardian family. Nice junior, Jack Turner. But he's the one physical presence that would be an impactful player.
Yeah.
In the 2026 class. He is
big boy.
He's strong. Definitely. He's a lot like the kid that – who they just graduate? Crap, my brain's
– Nickens Lumba.
Yeah, Nickens Lumba. There you go. Could not – I was looking that up. Could not catch that name. So, all right, Kyler's getting ready to go to bed. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Anything else on Lewis, Dominic?
The chair reclined.
I've been waiting to get on the Lewis talk for a while.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got that off my chest.
You wake up in the morning and they'll be like, okay, sorry, we made a mistake. Lewis, you're on.
If I was him, I'd say screw it, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't need this. All right, boys. Good job. Good talk. I'm with you, Dominic. I'm glad we finally got a chance to talk about that, because like right from the get, we were like, whoa, wait a minute. Come on now.
Yeah.
And again, you look at the like even the three kids I named, it's not definitely not their fault. And it's not their dad slash coach's fault. I would push them too. I think collectively, I think individually, they each deserve to be on there. But at the same time, Javon Lewis deserves to be on there over all three of them. And then if I'm forced to take one of them off, then that means I picked Tyler Parrish. It's easy to look at Buchanan's stats and say, well, they weren't up to par, the other guy, blah, blah, blah. But then when you go watch Westfield play and see how much he dictates the game.
Right.
So, but all right, guys, good talk. We'll talk next week, and probably we'll go every week until maybe Memorial Day weekend. And then we'll take a week off, and then we'll hit June like we normally do. And then we'll clean up whatever we need to clean up heading into the end of July, and probably have another week or so off in August.
When do we get the coaches on here?
June. Yeah, June.
Okay.
And see back, so what we did in June last year, not that we need to discuss this on the air, but we would record two at a time and then play them individually throughout. So we'd have multiple podcasts. So we're probably going to do the same thing this year. So Zach's brilliant idea. It worked out.
Hey, we went for the teams that we thought were going to be favorites, and a lot of them played in the state finals. So if you get that call to be on, you might have some yes. Destiny yes. coming.
We're taking credit. we're taking credit. Oh dear.
Let's see. We take credit for the state finals. We'll take credit for who's on the All-Star. What else can we take credit for?
Definitely aren't taking credit for who's on the All-Star team, because we didn't get our guy on there. So. All right, boys. Good talking. We'll see everybody next week.